little button here just irritates everybody. Well, good morning. You know, it's a good day to be alive. Amen. And while people all around us every day are scratching their head, wondering what direction to go, who to trust, what information to rely on, we know the answer to all that. We have one true God. Truth can be known, and it's known in Him. And, you know, this question of where did I come from? He answers that. This question of what am I here for? Why am I in existence? He answers that question. The question of what am I supposed to do while I'm here? What are my boundaries? What are my standards? He answers that question. The question of where am I going when it's all over and this is done and I'm done here on earth? He answers that question too. And because he answers those questions, those are the most important questions of life, we know that we can find stability in him and we can trust him. He is glorious. He is mighty to save. And he makes the crooked path straight. He lights the way for us. He brings truth into our lives. He gives us hope and direction. And we take all of that and we pass it down to our children. And they don't live in despair either. They live in victory because they have Jesus. Amen? I can go on and on. That was off the record right there, okay? But, you know, a few years ago, we were actually at one of our college students here, current college students here, was graduating from high school, Logan Jackson. And we were over at their house kind of celebrating with them and at the Jackson home, and we get home, a few weeks later, I notice in the plant bed and right outside my front door of the house, there's this strange plant growing. And I turn to Melanie and to Kendall, and I said, "What in the world? Where did that weed come from?" And Kendall's like, "That's not a weed, Dad. That's a watermelon." So while she was at, and I've told the Jacksons this a few times, but while she was at the Jacksons' house, she was eating watermelon, and she took a watermelon seed, and she put it in her pocket. And when she got home, she's like, "I'm going to plant this thing," and she digs a little hole in the soil. She plants it. Well, come to find out, and I'm going to give you an example of this. hopefully this won't roll off, okay? We'll all be eating watermelon, but come to find out, we just let the thing grow. And it grew, and we ate it. And it was awesome because she got to see how she sort of snuck a seed in the ground and how that seed sort of gave birth. How could such a small little seed planted by such a small little girl grow and multiply and produce such amazing fruit as a watermelon? Here's the issue. That seed has to land on the right soil. If she threw it in the road, it wouldn't have grown. If she threw it in a rock bed, it wouldn't have grown. If she took it and threw it in my rose bushes, it wouldn't have grown. But because she put it in the right soil, that seed was in the right soil and began to grow and began to flourish. Well, starting this past week, we are making our way through the book of Mark. We're going to get back to the watermelon. And in fact, I'm going to give this watermelon away to one of you lucky contestants, okay, at the end of the service. But we're going to get back to the watermelon story, all right? But stop, don't look at the watermelon anymore. Pay attention to the message, all right? But so Mark chapter 1 through 4 is the ground that we covered. And here's, we're making our way as an entire church. And many have emailed me. I've gotten a lot of emails, text messages. I actually had a note put on the church door of a person who's walking through this study each day and journaling. But what we're aiming to do is collectively as a body of Christ here, and look, anyone can join in on this, is to read through and study the book of Mark. Look, when the word of God gets inside of you, it will grow you. When the word of God gets inside of you, it will grow you. Now, it just depends on what kind of heart the word of God lands on. Because if you have a heart that is rejecting or hard, it will not grow you. But it's not the word, right? It's the heart. And so so last week we talked about this, and I gave everyone, and you might even have seen the video. If you haven't seen it, I put a video together this past Sunday, or Wednesday it is, to sort of summarize our study and what we want to do. And this is available on our website. You can go to our homepage. There's three boxes and three things to sort of print out. They're PDF files. There's an outline of the book of Mark. There's a thing we're calling Bible 113. And this is all not just to study through the book of Mark, but to kickstart a lifetime devotion with the Lord, where each day you're spending time in the Word and soaking in the Word and letting the Word come alive in you. And so what we're doing is we're just using this time, these next 4 weeks, to kind of show you and to work together, all right, and develop a devotion time with the Lord. Now, keep in mind this. Studying the Bible is not just about studying for information. It's studying for transformation. It's not just about gathering a bunch of facts and data of the past. It's about coming to know the living God in a personal relationship. And so Bible 113 is pick a book, right? One book. Read one chapter a day. And so let's just say you're going through the book of Mark with us, okay? You're reading one chapter a day, and you have three requests of God. These are three questions, so to speak, of God. And here's the three questions. Lord, what are you saying? Lord, why do you say this to me? And Lord, empower me to live out this truth. And so those are the questions those requests that you're making of God as you're reading through. And then finally, I also put on there a SOAP method, which is a journaling method. It's a very simple way. You could use a napkin. I do it if I'm out of town and I don't have, like, you know, my I have a journal book. If I don't have that, I can just use a napkin or a piece of paper, but it's SOAP. S stands for scripture. You write the scripture of the day, okay? Mark chapter 1. Observation is what you observed in the passage. I like to say this. How would you explain what you just read to a friend, okay? As you're reading through it, how would you explain that to a friend? And then application, you can start using these three requests, right? Lord, what are you saying? Lord, why are you telling me this? And then the prayer is, Lord, empower me to live this out. If you want to see and read all that and kind of pick up on that, just go to our website, okay? And you'll find that all there. But here's what we've learned. I'm gonna kind of carry you all the way. We're gonna be landing in chapter 4 today, but I'm gonna start in chapter 1. Here's what we're learning so far. In chapter 1, it begins with John the Baptist. And I'll tell you what, Mark really cruises through this gospel. It's only 16 chapters. It's the shortest gospel. There's four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he cruises through this thing. But he starts off with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was prophesied about by Isaiah, who lived 700 years before this. Okay? And you're going to see in chapter 1... Of Mark, you're going to notice that there's a quote here. And it's a quote, really, out of Malachi about Isaiah. But Isaiah says this. He says, "Behold, I send my messenger, speaking of John the Baptist. This is in verse 2. And he says, behold, I send my messenger before you today, or before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. That was John the Baptist. God says, I send a messenger before you to prepare the way. So what is John doing, John the Baptist, to do? Well, he was given this specific task to prepare people, okay? He was a witness who came to prepare people. Prepare them for what? Prepare them for the Lord. And here was the one message that he had. He said, repent. You remember what repent is, right? Repent means to turn. It really means to change your mind, to change one's mind. That's what the original Greek word means. And so what you're doing is, it's like your mind is heading in this direction, right? You are heading in this direction. And repent means that you're turning away from heading in that direction, and now you're heading in a new direction. And so what John was doing to prepare them is he was just using this one term, repent. He says this, and he says in Matthew chapter 3, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or kingdom of God is at hand. And so John the Baptist, he shows people how to prepare the way to repent. And he, it says in verse 7, look, chapter 1, verse 7, and he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I. So in other words, John is saying, don't look at me. I'm not the important one here, because people were really gathering and they were becoming followers of John. And he's saying, look, don't look at me. I'm not the one here to give attention to. He says, there's one that comes after me. He is mightier than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He's speaking of Jesus, right? And so he's saying, look, this is not about me. I'm preparing the way for him. But you have to get yourselves prepared. How do you prepare yourselves? Repent. You're heading in this direction. It's not the right way. Now turn. Turn what? Turn to him. Repent of your sins and turn away from your sins and turn towards him. And this is John preparing them. And then we see in chapter 1, Jesus comes on the scene. And in verse 10, it says that the Spirit descended upon him. So here is Jesus. He comes down into the water, and John baptizes him. And it says the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. You might remember that part. Well, then the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness where he is tempted by Satan. And John, like I say, John is sort of moving along. And Jesus says, he tells the people, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. And he speaks of this treasure that he calls the treasure, the mysteries of the kingdom. And he says about the kingdom, it's an unusual treasure, that there ought to be nothing that gets in your way of discovering this treasure. And this treasure is life. It's life that you long for. It's the life that you're hoping for. You just don't know how to get there. This treasure, it's the hope that you need. It's that this treasure is the ability to be transformed and to be changed. And here's what Jesus says in verse 15 of chapter 1. And again, we're sort of cruising through this. He says, see, John says, repent. Now Jesus comes along, and now Jesus says, repent and believe. Do you see that in verse 15? Repent and believe. So John says, prepare the way, repent. Jesus says, repent and believe. Believe what? Believe in the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ. In other words, fix your eyes on Jesus. The Messiah is here. He's telling the people. And so when you think about the gospel, when you think about this message that Jesus brings, here's what I want you to think about. Think about the person and works of Jesus Christ. So when you hear this term gospel or good news, the gospel, the good news, is the person and works of Jesus Christ. What are the works of Jesus Christ? Salvation for all, the forgiveness of sins. Okay? That's the works. Salvation for all, the forgiveness of sins. This is the treasure that the Bible talks about. In chapter 2, Jesus goes on, and he begins healing in chapter 1. Well, he continues this healing ministry. So he receives the Holy Spirit. He's tempted in the wilderness. Then he begins his ministry. And you'll see in chapter 2, you probably remember this in some of your reading, that a paralytic man is healed. He's dropped through the seat, through the roof. Remember this? And Jesus heals the paralytic man, and he forgives his sins. And then the religious leaders come along. So here he is healing. Now the religious leaders come along, and they're saying, who can forgive sins but God? And it's almost like Jesus is saying, exactly. Right? So they're wondering, and they're confused, and they are irritated about this man that's drawing so much attention. Jesus goes on in chapter 2. A tax collector is sitting at a tax booth. This is Levi, also known as Matthew, who wrote the Gospel of Matthew. And he's sitting at his tax collector booth. And remember, tax collectors are considered sinners. They are despised people. They're known for ripping people off. And Jesus says, come and follow me. And it says that he got up from his tax collector booth and just followed Jesus. He invites Jesus to his home, and he invites some of his tax collector buddies, and then the religious leaders see what's going on, and they say, who is this man who's a friend of sinners? And it goes on. There's several moments. There's the fasting, and the religious leaders are upset because he's not fasting, and the disciples are not fasting. The disciples are picking grain in chapter 2, verse 23. They're picking grain on a Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is made for rest. And so the religious leaders, they've taken that to a whole new level, a level that was never intended to be taken to. And so no one could even pull a grain up or pull up a plant on, or a weed, on the Sabbath. And so Jesus confronts them. Well, then in chapter 4, a large crowd gathers at the sea, and Jesus begins to preach to them. So he has healed, he has been teaching, he has been ministering to them, and here he is, he gathers this large crowd together, and he begins to teach them. And he uses parables, and parables are small or short stories to drive home his point. And he uses this farming process in this parable because he knew that they could probably relate. They were all farmers in one way or another. And so he uses farming to tell this story, this seed principle story. So let's pick it up in chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 3. Chapter 4, starting in verse 3. You're going to see it here on the screen behind me. But he says this, Jesus says to them, listen, a sower went out to sow. And so imagine a person, a sower is one who would plant seeds in the ground or sow seeds to the ground. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, but since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7, other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil, and it produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears, let him hear. I love how he ends that. So as the sower sows the seed, he identifies these different soils. And that's what's happening here. And here's something to remember. The seed is the same, but the soils are different. It's an important truth to remember about this parable. The seed is the same, but the soils are different. And he wants them to know that while the seed is the same, where the seed lands and the type of soil that it goes into, it's different. And says, some fell on hard path, and the birds came and ate it up. And so imagine just sort of a very hard ground, maybe a road. And imagine the seed sort of falling there. Imagine Kendall's watermelon seed, okay, falling on the road. And the birds come, and they grab it, and they take it away. And then some fell on rocks. And so just imagine this bed of rock and a seed falling in there. And it might get into a little bit of the dust, and it might spring up a little bit, but there's just nowhere for its roots to grow. And so it just sort of dies off. And then it says, some fell on thorns and were choked out. So it might have grown up a little bit, but it just couldn't grow. It was choked out. But then he finally says, some fell on good soil, and they grew and they increased, yielded 30-fold. In fact, it yielded 100-fold. And so Jesus, he says at the end of this parable, he who has ears, let him hear. And I want you to imagine, like I say, as we're reading through the book of Mark, I want you to picture yourself inside of this story and picture him standing in front of you, as well as your family, as well as your friends, maybe standing here today, and he's sharing this story with you. And he says to you, he who has ears, let him hear. And evidently you can have ears and not hear, right? As you read that, you can come to realize he's saying that because, look, you can have ears and not hear. In fact, you can have two ears, right? And not hear what he is driving home. Let me ask you, do you have ears that are sensitive to hear what he is trying to say to you today? Now, have you ever talked to somebody, and they might be able to repeat what they heard back to you, but you knew they really weren't listening real well? Husbands are good at this, aren't they, ladies? where they kind of listen a little bit, and I know I'm not like that, but so Jesus says some people are going to be like that, but the ones that have the ears, who really want to hear, let them hear. So chapter 4 verse 9, it says that the disciples, they didn't understand. They were like, you know, they were like this, you know, we heard you, but we just don't understand this parable. We just don't understand this story. And so when Jesus, it says that when Jesus was alone with his 12, he tells them, and this is chapter 4, verse 10 through 12, that this parable is for those who believe. But to those, he says, who are outside, it is just a parable. It's just a story. They don't have the ears to hear. And I'll tell you, I hope that you're really catching on to what's happening here and how it relates to us as believers today. And so why is this? It's because the word is foolishness to those who are perishing. That's what Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And the funny thing is that's what this parable is all about. It's about the heart, and it's about receiving. It's about receiving. So let's go back to the parable, because in chapter 4, verse 14 through 20, Jesus actually translates what this parable is. And even the disciples are like, we're not real sure what this is about. And you'll notice he brings the disciples together privately, his followers together privately, and he basically says, I'm going to tell you what this is about. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. And so the sower is Jesus. But it's also anyone who sows the word of God and distributes the word of God. It's like a seed sower that's sort of scattering, okay? And I like that he says scattering, because I remember that there's this gun that they used back in the 1700s. It's called the Blunderbuster. Anybody ever heard that before? Okay. It's got kind of a funnel end on it. And what it is, they pack it full of gunpowder, and then they put whatever in the funnel. They'll take glass, just pieces of metal, and throw it in there, and they would use that. It would just scatter. It was a scatter gun, kind of like a shotgun, but worse, right? And so what the seed sower was doing is he was just scattering it. He wasn't being real precise as to what soil he was looking to throw it in. He was just throwing it and tossing it. And whatever soil would receive it would benefit and be blessed by it. And so the sower sows the word of God. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan immediately comes up. And so the ones along the path, the seeds that fell along the path where the word was sown, when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And so think about the path, the seed that was put on the path. He says, originally, a bird comes and takes it away. Why? Because it falls on hard soil, and so the bird takes it away. Well, he's translating it here, and he goes, that bird, it's actually Satan. And I've had birds, parakeets, they are Satan. Okay, but I'm kidding. But so it's the seed falls on the path, the hard path. It just sits on top of the path, and Satan comes and takes that seed. And then, verse 16, these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, right? A lot of emotion, joy, excitement. But they have no root inside of them. But endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on an account of the word, immediately they fall away. Man, I could preach on this one for 3 straight weeks, right? So these are the ones, and I want you to be thinking about the soil is the heart of man, all right? The first one's the hard heart, where it can't even penetrate, and Satan just comes and steals, right? But this next one, it's the rocky soil. It never really takes root. It's sort of a flash in the pan. It's a lot of sensational emotion, and they're excited, and maybe the message was very inspirational, and it's very surfacey. Listen, there are so many people. Churches across America are filled with people like this. There's no depth. And so when that person is confronted by the world, and the word of God is confronted by the world, and they're persecuted by the world, these types flee. They die off. They die off. They can't endure the persecution and the tribulation. Why? There's no root. There is no root. There is no root. Verse 18, and others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. Or unfruitful, I should say. But those that were sown in the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. So he sows this word, and it's the seed, it's the word of God, and now it's falling on soil. What is the condition of your soil? What kind of a path, what kind of a soil, I should say, is your heart? The sower sows the seed of the word, and on the path is the hard heart, right? You're going to see this up on the screen. It's the hard heart. The rocky soil, it's the short-lived heart. There's no roots. They're not rooted in. And so when persecution comes and when they feel pressure and under attack, they just abandon that and go among those in the world. And then the thorny soil are the distracted ones. They're distracted by the riches. They're distracted by the things of this world. All the idols, all the stuff they want to put in their hands, the gadgets, you know what I'm talking about, y'all? The screens. I am really trying to not live the screen life where I'm living in the virtual world. And it is hard. So the people come and the crowds gather and they come broken and they come confused and they come filled with all kinds of different things of the world. They come hurting and confused, but they don't get healed. Why? Because they're not receiving the word of truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're either a flash in the pan and filled with inspiration and emotion, and look, that's not what this is about. This is about a surrendered life to Jesus. Or they get the word and they're like, it falls on a hard heart and Satan just comes and snatches it away from them. Or maybe their soil is the thorns and they're just so distracted with so much stuff. They're so weighed down. And it is easy to get weighed down with the cares of this world. They're so weighed down with the cares of this world that the seed of the word can't enter into their heart to bring life transformation and change. It can't grow. It can't produce. It's the wrong soil. And this is really a time of evaluating for all of us, because listen, as we make our way through John, or through the book of Mark, we see that John the Baptist, he says, repent. And Jesus comes along, he adds to that, and he says, believe. And then he shares this parable, and he says, receive. Receive. Receive properly. Receive the word of God that is able to save your soul. So the same seed that Kendall put in the good soil at my house and grew into this amazing watermelon. Now, this isn't it because we ate it, but I just brought one that's sort of like it. If it ended up on the road, a bird would have probably have come and snatched it away. If it ended up in the thorns, it would have been choked out. And if it ended up in the rocks, it wouldn't have had any roots and it wouldn't have been able to grow and it would have died. But if it ended up in good soil, it would grow and become fruitful and it would feed. And it would feed many. It would go on to feed many. And look, this is not a seedless watermelon, okay? A genetically modified seedless watermelon. I think this is a legit one. At least that's what I think it is. If this is a legit watermelon, it's filled with 100 more seeds. And those seeds go out And if they're put in the right soil, okay, if they're all the same seeds, they produce the same fruit, it's the soil that they find, right? And they get scattered, and they find the right soil will grow. But the question is, what is the soil of your heart? If it hits your heart, if the word hits your heart, if it's hitting your heart right now, will it grow? Will it go on to produce fruit? Will it go on to multiply and to grow? And so in Mark, as we study this, we go back to our three questions. Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? And maybe God is leading you to reexamine your heart today. Maybe the soil of your heart is just not right with him and not ready to receive. And then we ask that second question, Lord, why do you tell me this? Well, maybe he's telling you this because he has such an amazing plan for you. And you might not be able to see it. I love what Dr. Martin Luther King said. This was just a week before his assassination in the 1960s. But he says, he tells the people, he says, I might not get there with you, but I've been to the mountaintop and I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. You remember this speech? And then he goes on again and he says, I might not get there with you, but I know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And see, God has a promised land for you, the life that you've always wanted. You just can't seem to figure out how to get there. With all of your human engineered methods and ways and philosophies and ideas, you can't get there and you never will. And so you can receive a message like this today and begin today, or you can keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. But I will tell you that if you have a receptive heart, a good soil, that if the word, the seed of God enters that soil, it will grow. Amen? It will grow. And so we end with this final asking of God, this request of God. God, empower me to live out this truth. Empower me to receive your word. And so Lord, when I'm studying through the book of Mark, and as I'm reading a chapter a day and just sort of going through these chapters and asking these three things, as I'm doing that, Lord, will you help me to grow? Will you speak your word into my heart and help me to grow? I love Matt Keller. He's a pastor in Florida. He shares this amazing story, and I'm closing with this. He shares this amazing story about his wife's grandfather. And he says that he was a part of the greatest generation, almost 90 years old now. And actually, I think he was 90 years old when he wrote this. But he describes himself as a he describes the grandfather as extremely bright, very successful business leader who grew a large steel company, who distributed steel all over the country. And he says he's still very active in the community today at age 90. He visits Matt and his family in Florida, but doesn't live in Florida. He says, I have never met anyone who had his level of curiosity and hunger. And he says, the guy is interested in everything. He's always curious and he always wants to learn and to know. And he says, every time I bring him over, if I show him a new gadget that I have, and that's what he wants to see is all the gadgets, he says he's so inquisitive and he's so hungry for more and to understand things. And this grandfather is age 90, iPods that he uses. He has an Apple Watch. And so he's pretty high tech. And the reason he is because he's so inquisitive. And he says, and this is what has made him such an amazing man of God, is because he digs and digs and digs, and he is starving for more. And maybe you can be like that. You know, we got all this extra time. You can't go to the movies, right? You're tired of watching Netflix and Hulu and all that. Maybe this is a time to make sure the soil's right. And maybe it's a time to figure out ways of developing hunger. And it's not just a time of being motivated and inspired, but being transformed and given new life, because Jesus gives new life. And there's no book that's going to give you new life. You can go to the bookstore and you can load up with those books, but there's no book that's going to give you life. He speaks life through his word, and only the receptive heart will receive it. Is your heart receptive? Is your heart willing and ready and hungry to receive it? Are you like this 90-year-old who built a large steel company? Hungry and looking and searching and digging? God is looking for that. And if we're going to make an impact, I keep saying this little church, this little metal building in the middle of Crescent, Texas, we could change the world, y'all. We could impact the world. We could reach a heart and a city and a home and a nation, Lord, through the work of Jesus Christ. We could make that kind of impact, but it all depends on how the seed lands. How is it landing? Because collectively, if we are a people of good soil and the seed is landing on that good soil, look, the sky is the limits. We could change the world. We could change the world. Colossians 2, 6 through 7 says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Man, I could spend another hour on that one. Just as you received him, hungry, needing something, you were a person of need, you needed something, you needed the forgiveness of sins, you were hungry and desiring something from him, you needed him, and just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, in that same kind of faith, walking in him, not just receiving him in faith unto salvation and then just walking away from him, but receiving him for salvation and then walking and continuing that same way in the faith. Rooted, he says, and built up. See, this is a seed that gets rooted down and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught. Abounding in thanksgiving. Look, you will be abounding in thanksgiving if you let the seed do the work and grow in your heart. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you.